Whistleblower Edward Snowden's whereabouts are unknown today. He's dropped out of sight in Hong Kong after admitting he leaked details about the National Security Agency's secret data collection program. But is the PRISM program, as it's called, is it as open-ended a surveillance tool as first reports led us to believe? And how shocked should Americans be that high-tech companies, and especially information carriers, have a deep relationship with the Pentagon and have had that relationship for a long time? Steve Blank is a Silicon Valley entrepreneur and academic. He's the author of the online series, The Secret History of Silicon Valley. Steve, welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
So I guess, you know, DARPA at the Pentagon helped invent the internet. We really shouldn't be surprised about the close relationship between the tech community and the Pentagon, even if this is allegedly a First Amendment issue in the view of Edward Snowden, right?
Right. The history of Silicon Valley and the intelligence agencies goes back almost to World War II.
And we're talking there about breaking codes and that sort of thing. When did this morph into an information management strategy where big data becomes very, very tantalizing for the National Security Agency and other Pentagon agencies?
Well, you know, starting in the 1990s, when PBX's telephone switches started to become digital, the FBI and the NSA were already starting to get concerned about their inability to tap into this new technology, and they changed the law with something called CALA to require backdoors into PBXs. But historically, Silicon Valley and the intelligence agencies and big data were kind of on separate paths. We operated technology for the intelligence agencies, but our commercial activities were separate, and it wasn't until the internet arrived at post 9/11 that these two became entangled.
So the internet came from DARPA, the research arm of the Pentagon, but it wasn't until after 9/11 that there was a real merging of the companies that proliferated on the internet and the national security establishment?
Well, you know, the first thing that happened, actually, it started actually before 9/11, is that the NSA was interested in tapping upstream data, that is, the data flow itself, and through a company called NARIS, started tapping the streams that flowed by. And they built some amazing devices to do it, technically quite sophisticated.
And there's also the architecture of the internet itself, where the backbone and the main sort of enablers of the internet are companies in the United States. I mean, at one time, the entire global internet was a pipeline that existed in the United States.
That's right. And so being able to tap into these key locations was probably the first way our intelligence agencies started sucking up data. Again, much like most of the technical solutions the NSA has, quite sophisticated. I think PRISM is just a new piece of this, or at least exposed a new piece of it that's on the back end. Instead of just sucking up the data stream, they're actually going to the servers itself with the process data.
And would you say that the PRISM program, as far as you can tell, is fundamentally different or very, very similar to the kinds of devices and doorways that were put onto those original PBX phone systems when the Pentagon realized that as we moved into a digital world, unless you had appliances, specific ways for the Pentagon to get inside these information systems, there would be no way to tap them?
Well, the solutions technically are different. You know, the first set of solutions were catching data from fiber cables and infrastructure as the data flowed past. PRISM is different in that it actually involves data collection from servers itself, whether the companies like Google or Yahoo or Facebook are actually providing access to their own servers or have deniability by providing a third party with the data is a semantic denial issue, but it is different, and depending on your view of the Fourth Amendment, kind of troubling.
But let's take a look at the Fourth Amendment and Edward Snowden's very passionate claims that this is an outrage. I mean, on some level, virtually anyone who's worked in the information service industry, in the tech industry, who's seen this relationship grow up since 9/11 and probably before, can't have any illusions or entertain any surprises here. This has been going on for a while.
Yeah, this kind of feels like that scene in Casablanca where the police captain is complaining about gambling and says, gambling, I'm shocked to see gambling in Casablanca. And then someone walks up to him and says, "You're winning, sir." The Fourth Amendment guarantees us against unreasonable searches and seizures, but the Patriot Act, particularly Section 215, basically gave away the Fourth Amendment. My personal concern is, whether we need to do this or not, I didn't get the memo that we were giving up that part of the Constitution. And ironically, while the country is abuzz with the issues about the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, we've kind of written this one off and part of the First Amendment because you can't even talk about whether you've gotten a notice from the government making a request for this type of data. And I think it's troubling if you care about the Constitution. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing this. It just means we forgot to have a conversation about it in the country.
I think that the point that's been made this week, whether the Patriot Act has killed and buried the Fourth Amendment is something that the courts are going to have to deal with, and maybe sooner rather than later. Steve Blank, thanks so much.
All right, thank you. And if I could just point out, it was Benjamin Franklin who said, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." Thank you.
Steve Blank is a Silicon Valley entrepreneur and academic, the author of the online series, The Secret History of Silicon Valley. Thanks, Steve.